The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Dr. Patty, and today we're going to be talking about something that I see as an issue in my practice of 30-something years. It's an issue with couples all the time, and it's an issue with individuals as well, because they search for this, they want this, they have trouble holding on to it. There's a whole lot of angst and shame and fear and betrayal and all sorts of stuff around this issue. And the issue we're going to talk about is commitment. I'm sure that name, that word, brings a lot of emotions for many of you. Some people feel that their commitment to their partner is huge and unwavering. Some people wish they could find someone with that kind of commitment. Many people have been burned and hurt and traumatized by lack of commitment in relationships. So we're going to talk about exactly what is commitment, what does it look like, what are the things that create it, and then how do you hold on to that? How do you know if commitment is really good, or if it's wavering, or if it's not real committed? That's a good word to go with commitment. So I want to break it down a little bit for you. Committed love is something that people that enter into relationships want and they strive for. Many think they have, and they're absolutely floored and blown away when commitment wavers and they don't have it. They think that love itself is a commitment. But commitment isn't about love. Commitment is about constant effort. It's not just an emotion. Just because you feel love doesn't mean you feel commitment. And just because you feel committed to somebody doesn't mean that you feel in love. Commitment is a behavior. It's what you do. It's not necessarily what you feel. You can say you have commitment, but if your behavior doesn't match your words, that's not commitment. You can intend to be fully committed to your relationship or to your children or to an effort or a job or a goal. But if your behavior doesn't follow through with that and show consistency over time with your intention and your effort, then the commitment is not really there. So when commitment is confronted with a challenge, commitment will search for a solution. The undecided person who doesn't have a full-on commitment will search for an escape. That's profound if you think about it. The committed heart will always search for resolution and solution and search for a way to keep the commitment. An undecided heart will search for a way to get out. So that's one of the first things we're looking for. We're looking to see if someone creates that kind of safety in the relationship where they are clear that no matter what, they are committed and will fight to preserve the relationship. I'm also aware enough to know that even if you've listened this far in the show, if you have suffered from commitment trauma from a partner, you're already either getting angry or sad or thinking about turning this off because you don't want to hear how this hurt you. But it's a really important issue to listen to and to understand, because you don't want to be fooled by false commitment. And you also don't want to assign commitment where it is not truly there. And that's an issue that I see in my office all the time. People will say, I thought we had a commitment. And when I say something like, why did you think the commitment was there? Well, we did marriage vows. We vowed to love each other for the rest of our lives. Okay, I get it that you did marriage vows. Now tell me what behaviors were there that showed your partner was committed to you. And sometimes people can't even answer that. But they can answer, what are the behaviors that show non-commitment? For example, are you truly committed to your partner if you are flirting around with emails and texts and online and social media with someone else you're showing interest in? That right there is a sign that your commitment has wavered. When you get dressed for work or get dressed to go out with friends or get dressed to go somewhere, are you dressing for your partner or are you dressing for someone out there that you're hoping to impress? That's another sign that your commitment has wavered. Are you a big flirt looking for attention from other people, not necessarily from your partner? That's a sign that your commitment has wavered. So there are little things with behaviors that show that your interest is elsewhere or hoping to be elsewhere. And we're going to talk about what are some of the underlying psychological issues and emotional needs that can make people say they're in a committed relationship with their spouse or their partner, but their behavior is looking for attention elsewhere. It isn't always an intent to stray, to have an affair, but often there's an underlying psychological need for attention and wanting something that you're not getting from your relationship. So let's talk a little bit about that hope and that assignment of commitment that is not necessarily what happened. And it's really important to note that I see this a lot in teenagers. 30 years ago probably, when teenagers would date, they would often date others, and they were dating, which meant they were going and doing things, they were going out with friends, they would have a date, they would get picked up and go somewhere and do something. And in that dating, they knew that they weren't exclusive to each other. Then at some point in that dating relationship, usually the boy would ask the girl, because this was a very traditional time, to go steady. Right? And going steady meant, will you be exclusive with me? We are a couple. We are boyfriend and girlfriend. And we are agreeing to be exclusive to each other. So that moment where you went steady was a request, a thought out thing, a commitment to each other of exclusivity. What happens now with teenagers is they'll say, do you want to go out with me? And going out doesn't mean going to do something fun. Going out with me means, will you go steady? And that means right from the get-go, when you meet somebody, there's an assumption of exclusivity that you won't go out, you won't date any other person. Now, a long time ago, dating did not necessarily denote romantic, intimate sexual activity. Dating meant, I'm getting to know you, I'm not exclusive to you, and I could date other people if I want to. But now, when you go out with somebody, from the very first moment you are going out with them, you're basically assuming each other are exclusive to each other. So let's look at that for a minute. In that assumption, you are assuming commitment. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because in my office sometimes I see teenagers that will say, he or she cheated on me. And I'll say, well, how long have you been dating? How long have you been based? I don't say the words going steady because it totally dates me. But I'll say, how long have you been exclusive with each other? And they'll say, well, just 2 weeks ago, we were talking online, and I said, will you go out with me? And he or she said, yes. And I said, well, have you gone on any dates? No, I haven't actually met him or her in person. And I swear, there's a part of me that wants to go, say what? Wait a minute. But I usually say, okay, let me get this straight. You are going out with somebody, you're exclusive to somebody, and you haven't really met them in person. You've only been talking on social media. Yeah. And they cheated on me. Okay. So the expectation and the assumption of commitment is there. and the person is now hurt because the other person didn't have that same commitment or let go of the commitment, didn't follow through with it. So can you see how the assumption of commitment can be extremely hurtful? Okay, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about that. How do we know if there's a commitment? We'll be back in a minute.
Staying healthy isn't easy, especially during the holidays. Watching your diet, staying active, managing stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and effortlessly adjusts to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Bring proven quality sleep home for the holidays. Don't miss our weekend special. Save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds, plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet, and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. You could go to randymcginnis.com, listen to his incredible CDs. There's six of them. Randy is the Native American Flutist of the Year for 2020. I'm forgetting. But he's won numerous Native American Flute Awards. Played all over the world. He's Cherokee native. He speaks fluent Cherokee. And he's just an amazing person and an amazing musician. So go to randymcginnis.com and look at his six CDs. Okay, we're talking about commitment. This is Dr. Patty. And let's look at how commitment evolves. Because one of the problems is that people assign commitment to relationships when it's not really there. Or they hope it's there and then they say it's there. But let's look at what commitment is and how it evolves in a relationship. And this could be a romantic relationship, but it also could be something like a commitment to a job or a commitment to a course of action like a degree program or something like that. Commitment that you are fully in and going to sustain your behavior so that commitment follows through. But we're mostly looking at it, the examples I'm probably going to give you are with commitment to relationship. So how does commitment evolve? Well, first, when we're attracted to somebody, we are intrigued. We hope there are possibilities. You're engaged with that person in terms of you want to seek them out, you want to talk to them, you smile a lot. One of the ways we can watch two people interact and say, wow, they got something going on, or they're attracted to each other, or he likes her, I can see he likes her, or something like that, is because they're smiling a lot. They're making eye contact a lot. So that first sign of intrigue is not commitment. That is interest. Okay? So commitment starts with being interested, being intrigued with the other person. Then what happens is we begin to test the possibility. Okay? Tentatively, a little bit hesitantly at first because it's a normal human reaction to be fearful of rejection or to think, what if they don't like me back? Whatever, something like that. So there's interest and intrigue. And then there's the testing of possibility. And this is where you're taking some hesitant steps forward and you're seeing if the other person sort of matches those hesitant steps forward. So do you feel the same with that person? That's what we're checking out. Okay. Then after that, that works out well. They're interested. You're interested. You're both hesitantly taking some steps forward. You're talking to each other and texting and calling and you can't wait to talk to each other, see each other at lunch. And there's also not a fear that they're not going to show up or not going to meet you or that they don't feel the same. And that's that connection that starts to move into some kind of commitment because there's a stepping into the interest and the possibility. So once there's a stepping into it and there is focused attention, that's when people go into the what I call the cloud nine phase. They're falling in love. They're really interested in each other. Everything is wonderful. And in cloud nine, the person usually cannot do anything wrong. They chew with their mouth open. They are late. They come to see you looking like they just rolled out of bed. And in the cloud nine phase, you're going, oh, that's so cute. Oh, gosh, you know. He didn't brush his teeth. Oh, well, because you're in cloud nine and none of that stuff matters because you are seeing that person through very loving eyes. But this is where commitment begins to be demonstrated. It is focused attention. It is I'm all into you. I want to see you as much as you want to see me. And we are falling madly in love. So that cloud nine phase is really important. And here's a really important side note, people. I always say to clients and to even friends and family, look, cloud nine is not where you marry somebody. This is not where you run off and say this is going to last forever. Because in cloud nine, you don't really know the person yet. You're seeing them through rose-colored glasses and everything they do is wonderful. And you have not really stopped to evaluate whether you fit with this person or not. But this is where commitment begins to be demonstrated. All right. Then in a relationship, you commit to exclusivity. Whether you were going out and going steady from moment one, this is when exclusivity and commitment really starts to begin. You express your desire to each other to commit. We are exclusive to each other. We are committed to this relationship. You might be talking about future things like, I can see marrying you, or I can see having kids with you, or I think we could make this last forever. And you start to say things like that. Now, granted, there are people who are extremely fearful of commitment. They have been burned before. Or they are too aware of their own desire to be with more than one person a lot. So they are hesitant of commitment and they don't express those kind of feelings. But I'm talking about in what generally happens is people start to form a committed relationship. Then it begins to become evident whether this commitment can be sustained. And this is where those behaviors come into play. In a committed relationship, there is consistency over time of committed behaviors. And committed behaviors are things like you say what you mean and you mean what you say and you show up. If you're going to go somewhere, you call, you make plans, you are reliable. We often hear about people who say, he's ghosting me, or she's doing love withdrawal, not talking to me. I text her five times and I didn't get any answers back, and that's weird. Because in the very beginning, you got 40 million texts a day, right? So this is where commitment starts, where the rubber starts to meet the road with commitment. Is it being sustained? Now, cloud nine behavior where you are just like all in, can't think or do anything else, and that madly in love phase does wane and go into something that's more sustainable and maybe you start focusing on your job again, or, you know, you have to go grocery shopping or something like that. You start to get focused on your life. But there still should be a sense of consistency over time in that committed behavior. Then, as this relationship progresses, and commitment behavior, sustainable committed behavior, where you show up, you don't ghost somebody, you're not doing love withdrawal, you're not starting to act fearful that you're going to be tied down into something that you don't really want. And those behaviors are obvious when you stop and look at them. So we're back to that other issue that I see in my office all the time, and that's where people assign commitment and assign sustainability. In other words, we can make this commitment last forever when the other person's behavior is not showing that at all. They're expressing doubts, they're fearful, they're starting to ghost you a little bit, their behavior's not consistent, it's more consistent with someone who's not interested, but you don't want to see that. And instead of looking at that objectively, which is hard to do when you're in love with somebody, but instead of looking at that objectively, they start to get bitter and hurt and assign purposefulness of hurting you. You know, you said you'd be here and you weren't. You said you loved me, but you don't. You said that we were exclusive to each other, but I caught you with some other person. I caught you texting with somebody else. I'm seeing you act towards someone else like you acted toward me in the beginning. That's the kind of stuff that raises your red flags, but people don't want to believe that the commitment is waning. Okay? So when do you know if a commitment is forever? If it's the until death do we part kind. We enter into agreements like marriages or lifetime commitments, hoping that it can be sustained. But how do we know when it can be sustained? We don't. And that's the scary part about relationships. But what I want to tell you, I'm going to go into it more in the third section of the show, is what are the behaviors of a very sustained and committed relationship? Because some people think if we just love each other enough, we can make this last forever. Well, guess what? It is way more than just loving each other. Because relationships are difficult. They take a ton of energy. And they take both partners working on the behaviors of commitment, even when you don't like each other. Now think about that. Let's say somebody's been married 40, 50 years. How do you keep going when you don't like each other sometimes? Because when you're in relationship with somebody, whether it's your children or your spouse or your parents or something, there are times where we don't like that person. Now, notice the word like. I'm not talking about do you love that person. Yeah, you can still love your spouse, love your children, love your parents, and they can have behaviors that in that moment you don't really like them or you don't want to be with them right then. But commitment and love can be two different things. And when you combine the two, when you truly love somebody and you are truly committed to them, then you are going to look for sustainability even when you don't like them because they are doing something you don't like or that needs work or that has hurt you. And that's the difference between the kind of commitment that can be sustained a lifetime in a relationship and the kind of commitment that wanes and people look for escape. Let's go back to that original definition that we were talking about that was commitment to each other when there's a problem. True commitment will look for a solution. Okay? True non-commitment, not fully immersed, will look for an escape. All right? So true commitment to each other creates safety and protection. True commitment to each other happens even when you don't like each other. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about what is real sustainable lifetime commitment look like? What are the behaviors? We'll be back in a minute.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. It's that time of year again when family and friends gather together to celebrate the holidays. It's also a time to give thanks to Shasta County's 13,000 servicemen and women and their families. Thank you, KCNR, for supporting veterans and our community. Peace, hope, and joy to all this holiday season.
Happy holidays from Redding Electric Utility, your community-owned electric utility for 100 years. On behalf of all REU employees, we are wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. Please remember holiday safety starts with you. Never overload an extension cord or electrical circuit. Make sure extension cords and lights are rated for outdoor use. And remember never to expose electrical outlets or connections to rain. Redding Electric Utility has been honored to serve you in 2021 and wishes you and your family a happy and healthy new year.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and we're talking about commitment. Commitment in relationships, commitment to things that you focus your attention on. So what does commitment really look like? Because if I could really help couples that are getting together or starting out their relationships or teenagers who are dating, somebody that is looking for a sustainable relationship, and by sustainable I'm talking right now about what's a relationship that can last a lifetime. And people say it needs commitment, but they take that word so lightly and they assign whatever they feel to their partner. If you feel committed for a lifetime, there's a part of you that says, well, we both feel that way. But what if the other person doesn't really? And you're giving them that behavior when it's not how they feel too. And that's one of the biggest problems I see in my office is one person is committed and has committed behaviors, and the other person never really did have committed behaviors. They had one foot out the door from the get-go. So I want you to begin to recognize when one foot's out the door. And by telling you what are the elements of commitment that can make a relationship last a lifetime, then you can also stop and say, does my relationship have that? And if it doesn't, what do I do about it? And that's something we're going to cover in the last section of the show. What do I do if the commitment isn't there? All right, so let's look at some of the behaviors of commitment, because it's far more than wedding vows, are far more than we're exclusive to each other and we're never going to leave each other and this is going to last a lifetime and we're going to grow old together. It's more than that. It's about behaviors. So one of the first things I look for when I'm evaluating commitment in relationships in my office is I'm looking for some shared goals. Do you as a couple share some goals? And those goals can be financial goals. It can be something as simple as we want to save our money to buy a house, or it's our goal to be debt-free, or, I don't know, some financial goals that are shared, talked about, and both people are on the same team in making it happen. Financial problems are a huge thing I see in my office, and they often happen from one partner being committed to the spoken goals and the other partner sabotaging it. So that can harm commitment, and it can also display lack of consistent behavior for a shared goal. Another shared goal are children in a relationship. And not every relationship should have kids or does have kids, but if you have decided to start a family together, the shared goal of raising children, protecting them, wanting them to go forward in life and have a good life, that can be a shared goal that can bind you together as a commitment to each other and to now a third party, which is the family. Okay? So that shared goal of family can be very important when you both have that same commitment. A shared goal can be a lifestyle. We would like to buy a house. We would like to save money for a special trip. We would like to be debt-free. We would like our lifestyle to be whatever you define. Okay? But doing that together and then sharing the direction is part of what happens in true commitment. Another thing that I look for in committed relationships are shared interests. When I see couples that go two different directions all the time, that can be a real hindrance to staying together. One of the things I often give couples of homework assignments when I'm doing couples therapy is I'll tell them that what they really need is a half an hour together of quality alone time. And this is not necessarily sexual. This is sitting and having coffee in the morning before the kids are up, or sitting on the back deck having a glass of wine after work, or sharing some time where they're not talking about problems. They're just sharing some space together, maybe talking about plans or goals or something like that. It can be a walk after dinner where you walk and hold hands and talk, but it's time together to have space in your day for each other. And I'll tell you, most couples do not have that, especially when they have kids. They are running at a huge pace, and there's very little time for the couple and the relationship, and it falls apart sometimes just because of that alone. So time together is really important. Developing shared interests is really important, whether it's that you go kayaking together, or you play tennis, or you go to ballroom dancing, or you like to take walks, or your whole family hikes. Shared interests are what create some of that commitment to couple, to longevity, to forever, to family. Okay? And family might just be you and your spouse. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've got kids. I'm not trying to define how you do your relationship. I'm trying to get you to look at, do we share interests? Do we share commitment? Okay, do we share goals? The other thing I look for in relationships that are going to last is the sustainability of your sexual relationship. For me, as a psychologist, it is a barometer. It is a thermostat where I can tell a lot about your relationship by how your sexual relationship was in the beginning and how it is now. How much has it waned? How much have you given up on it? How much do you not like your partner sexually anymore? Did you used to have a vibrant sex life and then it ended? Those are things I'm looking for. Now, I do occasionally see couples. I remember one couple I saw that said, we haven't had sex in 6 years. And I said, how do you feel about that? And they both looked at me and went, "Nah, it wasn't that important to us. We're really good together. We enjoy a lot of interests. We do some great things. But neither one of us were extremely sexual people, either in the beginning. And it just kind of waned, and we kind of don't care." They were both on the same page. So as their therapist, I was like, okay, both of you are telling me this is not an issue. But I got to tell you, in 34 years, I've probably seen that scenario once that I know of, maybe two or three times at the most. But mostly what I see is one person is pulling away sexually and the other one is frustrated and feels hurt. And it is a huge contentious place in their relationship. So the sustainability of your sexual relationship and how connected you are in that part of your intimacy in your relationship is hugely important, because it is a barometer to whether your relationship is falling apart or not, or whether it has moved apart and is not as intimate as it used to be. And it's a huge part of maintaining that commitment to each other, because in that feeling of intimacy with your sexuality comes a heart commitment, a intense loving each other that helps sustain that romantic part of your commitment. Don't underestimate it. It's important. Another piece that we're looking for in commitment is, how much is your partner your best friend? Can you tell them anything? Do they understand you? Do they get you? Is there intimacy in knowing that your comfort is with that other person? I see many relationships where their partner is not the person's best friend. In fact, they avoid telling them anything because the partner is demeaning or critical. They don't search that person out when their feelings are hurt or they're sad or they're frustrated with something. They avoid their partner. That is a huge red flag that the commitment level in your relationship, the sustainability of your relationship, is not as strong as it could be. If you listen to my podcast on trust, and I talk about the different levels of trusting, that level 5 intimate level of trusting is where the best marriages are, the best relationships are, and the best friendships are. So listen to that, the podcast on trust. Okay, the other thing I'm looking for in commitment in relationships is safety and protection. These are huge. I often say in my office, so what you're telling me is you don't feel safe with your partner. And I get a lot of head nodding and a lot of, yeah, I don't feel safe with him or her. They're critical, judgmental. They don't feel like they're in here for the long haul. I don't feel like they're as committed as I am. And the safety of this being my home space, this being my safe place, this is where I go to feel relaxed and safe and connected, is not there. And it is detrimental to the relationship. Going along with safety is protection. When we are in a committed relationship, we are protective of our partner. We have their best interests at heart. It isn't all about what we want or need. There is a protective stance of, I care about you, I will protect you, I will have your back. And it's at different degrees with different people, but as a psychologist and doing kind of a couple's evaluation, I'm looking for, how safe are you with each other? How protective are you with each other? How much do you trust each other? And I don't mean trust that you're not going to cheat on each other or something like that. I mean, how much do you trust each other that you're going to be there, that it's your safe place, that you can feel protected with your partner? These are pieces of commitment. Because when you don't feel protective, when you don't provide a safe space for your partner, some of what's missing is that commitment to a lifetime of being there for your partner. It's huge. They go hand in hand together. All right. So when we're talking about commitment and we're saying, what does it look like in terms of accepting each other? Accepting that it's not always perfect. Commitment doesn't mean I always like you. It's always perfect. You never do anything to tick me off or make me frustrated. No, it's about, even though there are hard times, I am committed to you, to my family, to making this work. So when there's a struggle, your brain doesn't go to, how can I escape? How can I get out of this? How can I find somebody else that's going to do for me what I want? And I don't mean in a narcissistic way. I mean, how can I find another relationship that's going to fulfill my heart, give me what I need? With commitment, your mind does not go to, how can I escape? When there's a problem, you go to, how can I fix this? What can I do? Oh, this is frustrating. I don't know how to deal with this. How can I overcome this obstacle? That's a real place of commitment, you guys. When there are problems, your brain goes to, how do I fix this? Instead of going to, how can I get out? So if your brain has been going to, how can I get out of this relationship? How can I escape? How do I let go? I don't want to be here anymore. The commitment has already waned, and you're trying to get out and let go. And that's a whole nother issue. You can go to my podcast called Letting Go. You can also go to the one called Should I Stay or Should I Go? If you are needing to listen to those, your commitment, your sustainability for this relationship to last a lifetime is already waning. And what needs to be restructured and revamped is your commitment to the relationship forever. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about some of the things you can do if you feel the commitment in your relationship waning. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Turn your someday into today. The Shasta College spring semester begins January 19th, and now's the time to register for classes. First-time, full-time students, get your first 2 years tuition-free. At Shasta College, we'll teach you the skills, give you the knowledge, and provide the training you need to unlock your potential. Reskill, upskill, or get transfer ready at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/apply.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about commitment. Commitment in relationships is mostly what we're talking about. But commitment is about anywhere you put your attention and you do the behaviors of sustainability of that commitment, and you stay, and you work it, and you work it even when it's hard, and you don't wrap your head around, I want out, I want to escape. So when we're looking at how do we evaluate commitment and how do we take care of it if something's wrong, we have to look at the role that fear and shame play in commitment violations. And it's interesting because some commitment violations happen and the partner doesn't even know about it. Somebody's violating a commitment to your partner on social media. You're texting or emailing with somebody or sexting with somebody, and your partner doesn't know about it. And you're thinking, well, I didn't meet them in person. I didn't have sex with them. But there still can be that element of fear and shame, especially when you're caught. And a lot of people think, I'm not going to get caught. And then they do get caught. And then everything crashes in on them because the fear and the shame of letting go of your spoken commitment is huge. So when we see behaviors such as affairs or loss of interest or disengagement from your partner or being disenchanted with your partner, there are underlying emotional needs that you might have that are not being met. And this is where some of the healing can come in. And this is where you might seek out some individual therapy. If you went into therapy and told the therapist, I'm losing interest in my relationship, a good therapist is going to take you through what is it you need that's not being met? And it might be a need for attention, a need for validation. You might need somebody to show sexual interest in you because you're not getting any of that sexual interest from your partner. Some people get bored and they want new attention. They want somebody new to show them that they're desirable or attractive or interesting. And these underlying emotional needs that people have can take precedence over their commitment to their partner. And the way I look at it is, when you have emotional needs for attention or validation or to be shown that you are attractive or wanted, then what happens is that takes precedence over your commitment. The meeting of those unconscious or sometimes conscious emotional needs begins to kind of scream loudly. It can be a soft whisper in the beginning with just a little bit of flirting or a little bit of dressing for attention or things like that. And then as that need gets greater and greater, it can translate into acting out an expressed desire to achieve that attention, like in having an affair or having an emotional affair, not just a physical affair, or looking for attention because you're not getting what you need from your partner. And here's something really interesting. I will often hear from couples, I don't know why he or she strayed in our relationship because we have a great sex life. We have a lot of things in common. We do, we're committed to our family. I don't know why he or she went and had an affair, because what's missing in our relationship? And what's missing in the relationship might not be the problem. It might be what's missing individually in that person. They might have self-esteem issues or attention issues or abandonment issues. And those things start to raise their ugly head and start to look for resolution by their behavior searching out someone that's going to make them feel better for a time being. And those people often in my office will say, yeah, we do have a really good sex life. I don't know why I looked elsewhere. And that's what we start to dissect, because as we figure out what is in the way personally by each individual of making a real commitment and sticking with that commitment, then we can begin to get the emotional idiosyncrasies or the emotional problems or history or trauma that gets in the way of you having the ability to make a lifetime commitment. So this is one reason why me as a therapist will look for the intimacy, the safety, the protection, the sexual relationship. And I'm also looking for the personal strength and the personal awareness in each part of the relationship, each partner. Because the more aware they are of what their weaknesses are, what their needs are, what they're not getting met in the relationship, the more we can work on that. And they can begin to solidify that within themselves and also begin to get that from their partner and talk about it. So if commitment wanes because of individual problems or problems in the relationship, or you're not as mature as you need to be in order to say, I'm going to put myself aside and do what's best for my family, my relationship, my commitment to a lifetime with this person, are you capable of that? Let's say you're just not. Then can commitment be recovered if it wanes, if it starts to go away? And what's really interesting is I do see commitment can be recovered. I see people doing affair recovery where they are more committed to each other than they ever were even before the affair. Partly because sometimes fear kicks in and the shame kicks in of, I did something against my values, I harmed my partner, I harmed my kids, I started to realize that the life I have built can totally slip away. And that fear alone can create a huge motivation to repair the relationship and solidify the commitment again. I see that all the time, and it's really cool. So if you're dealing with some of that relationship issues, my podcast called Affair Recovery is really important because you'll listen to some of the elements that it takes to recover from a messed up commitment and an affair. And then the other one that's similar to that is that my podcast called Why Do People Cheat? Because you'll look at what's in the way, and those are the things that get in the way of commitment. So can you recover from commitment problems? The answer is yes, you can. You have to do this thing I called you gotta wanna. You have to want to fix it. You have to see that there are problems. You have to see that your commitment has faltered, and you have to want to fix that. And what happens? How do we do that? The shame and the fear and the guilt that can appear within yourself when your commitment has faltered is really important, because that shame and that guilt means that you are saying, I did something that I don't believe was right. And in that, the fear is created. I could lose all that I've worked for. I could lose this person that I've loved for a long time. I could lose my family. I could lose this, what I had hoped to be a forever relationship. And if those fears are playing out in you, then it's really possible that you don't want to let go. You want to regain your commitment. If you're thinking, how can I get out? How can I leave? Then maybe your commitment is done and you need to gracefully leave a relationship. That's like a whole nother issue. Should I stay or should I go? That's the name of one of my podcasts. Letting go is another podcast. So you can go to Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast. It's on Spotify, iTunes, every podcast forum is out there, I think. And you can listen to those episodes. There's over 120 titles. You can go down, and if one jumps out at you, that's probably one you need to listen to. But there's a bunch of them on relationships. So here's the bottom line for commitment. If you can define what your morals are, what your values are, and what you believe you bring to the table in relationships, then you can start to say, how good am I at commitment? How much can I say, even when I don't like you, I'm going to work hard at making this relationship work. Even when all my needs aren't being met, I can communicate and speak up and say, look, we need to fix this. We need to talk about the needs I have that aren't being met and how they make me pull back from you. And I don't want to do that. I want to honor my commitment, and I want to sustain my commitment for a lifetime. But I'm having a problem because this is occurring. That's talking about something before you do something that shows a lack of commitment. And this is just really important if you want to have a relationship that lasts a lifetime. Now, granted, there are people that will not ever commit for a lifetime. It's not what they want. They know themselves too well to say they get bored, they need something new, and when things get hard, they run, they don't stay and work it out. It's just not in them to make a lifetime commitment. It's kind of nice that those people know that about themselves, because there's a whole lot of people that act like that, but they say something different. And that's what I'm telling you to look for. If you're in a new relationship, do not assign your beliefs to the other person. Do not say, well, I'm committed, they must be. That is not how it works. I'm always telling people, if your behavior does not match your words, I always look to your behavior. Because if your behavior says, I'm not committed, I'm not in this for the long haul, that speaks volumes, even if your words say, sure, we can last a lifetime. Okay? All right, so the important point here is commitment is something that is a series of behaviors that are consistent over time in a relationship, whether it's a work relationship or a love relationship, a series of behaviors that are consistent over time. And when the behaviors don't match sustainability of commitment, that speaks to there is not a commitment. And if commitment has been violated and harmed and broken, can it be repaired? Absolutely. All right? Absolutely. So it's really important to really look at this issue of commitment. This is Dr. Patty, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast is where you can find it. Thank you for tuning in today, and I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.